Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Oi, oi, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Newcastle gubbed Arsenal and Huddersfield await Forest of the Blades in the final. It's Tuesday, 17th of May. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Hi, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Good to have you with us. Ooh, look at Jim, the Arsenal fan, Pete, the Newcastle fan.
Staring United by football. Pete and Jim.
Brothers in football. Yes. That's the main thing we need to remember here before you start slagging him off, Peter. Yes, of course, that's where we begin the show, everybody. Newcastle United 2, Arsenal 0. Newcastle's first win against the top six side this season. Peter, the money's working.
The money's working. The salve to the Newcastle wound.
Money speaks. Edward Howe said it was the best performance he'd seen since he'd been at the club. Would you agree with him, Peter?
It's the best last week performance I've seen in Newcastle for about a decade, I think. Apart from maybe Spurs 5-1.
When they beat Spurs, which we may mention in a short while.
But, how many times have Newcastle sort of limped over the last kind of hurdle over the last few weeks of the season? How many times have season tickets been torn up and they just pushed Arsenal? Mm. And, you know, it's going to basically be indicative of how Newcastle kind of grow from this. Using the ridiculous resources that they reportedly have. But will they use it correctly? You know?
True. Mark Ashley was a billionaire.
You got to choose. I think players like Matt Target, where it's just like, will you keep hold of players like Matt Target? Do you think Newcastle are better than what Matt Target represents? Mm. I would posit that they aren't, and I think players like that have really characterised Newcastle's season. I think he's been wonderful.
The problem is trying to keep hold of him. You know, he is a target.
He is a target, correct.
Thank you. Yep. It's my Tuesday as well, yep. So up yours, everybody. Mm-hmm. I quite like that Howe said it was the best performance since he'd been at the club. Mm. Don't want to disrespect what Bruce did. Could have just said it's been the best performance at this club for years.
Was it West Brom's worst points total in the league? They've had. I heard that stat rattling around them internet.
Well, okay.
Well, say something like, "Well, we need at least 15 first team players to even think about turning this around."
True enough. Yeah. Amanda Staveley was hugging the players as they left the field. It was all party atmosphere at Newcastle. It's as if they'd qualified for a European position or something. But I don't want to sort of sound dismissive, because as you say, there's a good feeling around the place, rightly or wrongly, and it was
fantastic. The war flags, the families of the footballers on the pitch at the end of the season. You know, the fans
last game of the season at home. Yeah.
The fans were incredible. Yes, they were so good, and all the flags waving around and stuff. And you know, I said it before, nothing I saw on that pitch yesterday couldn't have been done under Mike Ashley. He just didn't want to do it.
Yeah, and that is a fair point to make. Newcastle United, their official account, did tweet a photo of Amanda with the caption saying, "She never gave up hope." She a Spurs fan?
I mean, look, this is the. Shall I jump in, Jim? Because I'm, you know, Mayor's
Jim will have his bit in a moment, don't worry.
He can have his own post-mortem. Yeah. Not that kind
they're
of post-mortem.
They're very different. Yeah.
Our post-mortem is a literal post-mortem. I wince, my bum tightens whenever I see, you know, the social media about Amanda Staveley and Guedouzi down at the food bank and stuff like that. We're contorting and we're lashing out because, frankly, it's a crying shame that we didn't need any of this. Mm. We didn't need any of this. Worrying about this, where this leaves Newcastle, is a pro Newcastle agenda. The fans in the stadium last night had no more say in what happened to their club than what they than signing Islam Slimani three seasons ago on that weird loan move. You know, they don't have anything to do it. But you know, pointing back at the other clubs doesn't make anything any better. And so I find Newcastle quite a difficult watch at the moment. But there's something in my soul that goes, fuck me, I like watching Newcastle play like that.
Yeah,
but
that's why it's so effective.
Exactly, yeah, because it was a magnificent performance from Newcastle United. And next season, you'd think they would be a force. I mean, they would certainly, you'd be surprised if they were involved in any kind of relegation running next season, because they haven't been this season, really, for a long time now.
And I also think as well, we now are in the age of the moneyed super club, where, you know, when Chelsea were taken over and when Man City were taken over, the landscape was a little bit different. Players would maybe hesitate to go to these clubs. It's like, well, it might be a while before we get into Europe. What if the project never works? We've seen that it does work, and it can work quite quickly now. So I think actually Newcastle will have very good players available to them this summer.
Indeed, Jim. Indeed. What about Arsenal, Jim? Let's turn our attention to the losers on the evening.
Started very slowly, never found their rhythm after that. Mm-hmm. And essentially, it appears they just never found a way to enact their game plan. Because a lot of people have seen Granit Xhaka's very self-flagellating comments after the game.
About they didn't deserve to be on the pitch.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what age, you can be 30, 35 or 10. If you're not ready for that, stay at home, don't come here.
You join Newcastle because we're sort of self-flagellating at the moment, aren't we?
I was going to say.
Yeah, I mean, one of the other things Xhaka said was that they didn't follow the manager's instructions. They didn't follow his plan. I think that start was really slow. Newcastle started really well, and it essentially knocked the stuffing out of Arsenal. And it's so, so disappointing. I'm not really hugely surprised by it, because it looked like one of those fixtures where it sounds like this could happen. Newcastle have been really,
everyone
really good
was
at home.
Predicting this.
Let's be honest.
It's like it wasn't
watching your own pessimism come to life in real time.
And then knock your drink out your hand.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, still, it's not like Arsenal had no say in the fact. It was one of the worst performances of the season. And they've had 13 losses this season. There have been bad performances, but this one, it's what's disappointing is the lack of character, because they've shown so much character throughout the season at different times.
Yeah, but that's the point. It's not as if they couldn't do anything about it. Whereas if you watch the game, it looked like they were all saying, "Oh, it's happening again. It's happening to us. But you know
again.
What?
I didn't feel so much like that to me. It just felt a little bit like
they've been desensitized.
I think it was more they didn't have a plan. It wasn't, oh, this is happening to us. They were just like just clinging on, just like, well, just absolutely out of gas.
With
not
so
listening.
Much at stake as well. That's what I, what I couldn't figure out. The urgency. I mean, maybe there was a lot of urgency because there was a lot of like shanked passes and kind of panic things.
Could barely string balls together. Yeah. Like something like 33% possession and like after the first half. I'm not sure about full time, but I can't imagine.
And
it was
Newcastle
much more.
Don't like possession, but we managed to sort of like, yeah, it was like 70% possession at one point, even more.
I had a period of about 5 minutes after Newcastle scored, but that was really it. Just did not show enough.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, what will clearly happen on the last day is Spurs will go 1-0 down for a laugh. And then beat Norwich 5-1.
Yes, yeah. You could do with a dodgy lasagna again, couldn't you?
Well, it looks like it's already happening, isn't it? So there's like kind of.
I think there was talk of a virus in the squad, but I don't. I think
they've gone too early.
Yeah, they'll have their diora light.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's a very, very poor performance from Arsenal, and it's a great shame for Arsenal because this season's been largely positive.
Yeah, there have
and one shouldn't forget that. But of course, when top four is dangled in front of your face and it's still in your hands with two games to go, and you put in that type of performance, unfortunately for Arsenal, that then can, again, that can influence the mood over the summer and into the new season. Yeah. And it would be a great shame for them if that is the case.
Well, I think, yeah, the mood has been very, very interesting this season, the way it's going up and down. There's a lot of people that have really got on board with Arteta. There's been new songs. That, you know, there are new players that the fans really, really identify with. The atmosphere in the stadium has been much, much better. Mm. You still see a lot of bile on the internet. But
That will always be the case.
Exactly. That will always be the case, indeed. So there's... The way the tide moves with what appears to be public opinion on Arteta is fascinating. But I think despite the fact that Arsenal lost 13 games this season, which I think equals their worst in the top flight, there are still a lot of positives. Like the squad is in much better shape than it has been in recent past. Perhaps bombing out so many players in January and not bringing anyone in was a bit naive. Maybe Ainsley, Maitland-Niles, possibly someone like that could have stayed as backup. But even then, I don't think he's the difference between top four and finishing fifth. So it's hard to say. And also signing players for the sake of it as a short-term stopgap isn't always the answer. Maybe someone could have come in on loan. I think that would have, a striker on loan would have made sense, but for whatever reason, they couldn't do it.
Are you looking forward to the Amazon documentary?
I am, despite this, because you know I know it's going to have almost certainly going to have a rubbish ending, but it will be very interesting to see the behind the scenes of this season in particular, because it's been a transformative one. You know, I've been saying for a long time, Arsenal need a reset, the culture needs to reset. It happens to a lot of clubs, and you know we come on to Man United later. It's still, you know, obviously they've won things since Ferguson left, and it's not been a complete disaster, but then, you know, they're not really where they want to be. And a lot of that is the culture behind the scenes. Now, a lot of the change at Arsenal, I think it is always going to have to be a case that it's almost a bit like untangling a box of wires. Do you know what I mean? It has to get messier before it can get tidier. And I think it's still tidier despite how disappointing this result is and how disappointing the end of this season is.
Take all the wires out of the box, plug the one end of the HDMI into the telly and then your PlayStation and just keep the wires like kind of all tangled up. It's fine. Still works.
I mean, to be fair, yeah, if you want wires untangled, then Pete is like the sort of the Sam Allardyce of that.
Should really get you in.
Yeah. If you're in a tangly mess.
No, I'd just buy new wires.
Yeah.
Very much like Sam.
Nice little mention for him there. But back at Newcastle, Peter, Joel Linton, who got a great assist for one of the goals, awarded player of the season.
You love to see it.
Excuse me. What a turnaround in his Newcastle United career.
You love to see it.
He was the butt of all the jokes.
Yeah.
Now, was it Howe who put him in as a more midfield player, or do we give Bruce credit there? I'm off the top of my head,
honestly can't remember, but I believe it was Howe who moved him back and just
that
gave
would
him,
make sense.
That would make sense. If we're looking at cause of effect, you look at players like Emil Kraft and Jolly, and you sort of go, right, how, what's changed here?
Who's thought outside the box on this one? Yeah, I think it's probably Eddie. If it's Steve. Yeah. If it was Steve Bruce, then we apologise, Brucey, in very unreserved terms. But Joel Linton, though, Pete,
he breaks the play up. He dyes his hair the same colour as Bruno Guimaraes. It's a beautiful thing to see.
Yes,
I think we should get more Brazilians in.
It could be a good idea. What about Callum Wilson? His first start since the end of December.
Oh, and he lost his tooth. It was gross.
Did he lose it though? Because it seemed to be fine by the end of the game.
If I was a dentist, he probably just popped it back in.
But the medical staff at football teams are that good now.
Just, yeah,
you don't get like. It's not,
emergency dental surgery.
It was on a rotten old thread, and I think it got popped back in.
A dislocated tooth.
No, but if it's still got a bit of gum connected to it, you could pop it back in, couldn't you, for a bit?
Is there a bit of gum on there?
There's a bit of gum in there. Right, but it looked really gross. But you know, as soon as he gets back on the field, he's back in the 6 yard box. I thought it kind of reminded me. God, what a shame that he hasn't played hardly in most of this season. It would have been really nice to see how everyone was going, and you know, build a team around his goals. It would have been great.
Well, because he scored goals when Bruce was managing.
Yeah,
OBE. Do you know what I mean? But you're right.
Order of the Bruce Empire.
Lovely. I'm intrigued to see how many. What you know, with a bit of service. With Guimaraes and one or two other players, as you say, around him, what will he be able to produce? It'd be very interesting. Speaking of former Newcastle United managers, of course, as we did with Steve Bruce, we go straight to Bulgaria because Alan Pardew has been in a cup final recently. And Levski beat his CSKA Sofia side 1-0 to get their first trophy in 13 years. Poor old Pardew. They were beaten.
Yeah,
and no dancing, no wiggling.
Yeah, exactly. No, didn't even get a goal, so no excuse to dance. We don't know for a fact that he didn't. I didn't see the game.
Yeah, I mean, Levski, they hadn't beaten CSKA Sofia in 10 attempts, but, you know, you could bring Pardew in, you think, well, that's going to be 11, but no. Mm. Oh, dear. Well, is it working out? We don't know. But he's got a medal, albeit a silver one. Chaps, last night, big game in the Championship playoffs. Huddersfield 1, Luton Town 0, 2-1 on aggregate. Huddersfield go through. A very late Jordan Rhodes winner. Lovely throwback to him. Obviously, he was at Huddersfield many, many years ago, and he was re-signed last summer, certainly in 2021.
On a free, wasn't it?
Was it a free?
I believe so.
A very wily operator. I think he's 32 now, so
No, he's surely still an up-and-coming striker.
That's right,
My brain won't accept that.
I think, yeah, indeed. Well, it was... I mean, that's what you need. You need a striker who knows where the goal is to sniff out a chance. And I tell you something, Luton will be disappointed because they had their chances. I know their manager spoke, very, very passionately and it was very full of praise for his team, as he should be. You know, it's been an incredible story, an incredible run. It hasn't had the fairy tale ending that they would want, but they can always go again next season. It might be difficult. But Nathan Jones did also say, people say they're the best tactical side in the league. They're not. We were the better team. And he was very adamant that they were the better team and they missed their chances, which they did.
They did, yeah.
But ultimately, you've got to get over the line.
It was such a busy match.
It was. It was.
Kept both teams in the competition, I think it's fair to say. But lovely sort of slid finish at the back post. Fantastic.
Oh, it was proper strike
late
stuff.
On. Lovely.
It was. And then, of course, there was the pitch invasion at the end. I understand the pitch invasion in the semi-final of the playoffs. But, I mean, you got to remember, like, there's still a game to go.
Mm. Yeah, but how often do you have an excuse?
Yeah, no, sure. Hence, I understand it,
right?
And you can't get on the pitch in the place they're going to play it, so you've got to do it there.
That's true, actually, yeah. Very hard to get onto the pitch at Wembley.
It's
easy to get in the stadium. Very easy to get in the stadium, but you can't see.
They've got it wrong, haven't they? They put all their efforts into making sure no one can get on a pitch, but in the stands, my goodness. Staying in the Championship, huge news for Derby today. Well, if you will, Championship. Their administrators confirmed today that they have exchanged contracts for Chris Kirchner to take over the club by the end of the month. So it looks as though Derby may move into a different phase in their history. We hope so for their sake. It's conditional on the sale of the stadium, though. EFL approval and receiving creditor consent. So could fall down, but hopefully not. And of course, Huddersfield, though, going up the other end of the table, Huddersfield will be playing Nottingham Forest or those Bladesmen of Sheffield United in the final at Wembley, because Forest play Sheffield United tonight, of course. Everybody looking forward to that one. But despite there being an important game in the Premier League and a very important game in the Championship playoffs, the main event last night, I think we can all agree, was that Matt Letizia hosted a live stream with Ricky Lambert where they spoke about his career and current events.
Yeah, you don't see this sort of thing coming, do you, until it's on the telly and you're like, what is this happening here?
And it's the second part, the current events, that were particularly juicy in that live stream. Ricky Lambert gave his thoughts on his career. That's fine. I mean, it'd be interesting.
It was a little bit of like football by the night, talking about, you know, what a successful player is. Exactly. And isn't.
And it was a fascinating career, yeah. Lambert. Obviously, you know, managed to play for his boyhood team, Liverpool. He's mm-hmm. playing for England, seemed quite unlikely. Got minutes, only a few, but a World Cup, but yeah. still. Mm-hmm. You know, so I concentrate on that. Very interested in that. Mm-hmm. Great stuff. He also gave his thoughts on the New World Order, though, yeah. and the Great Reset. And it's yeah. like, never has the expression stay in your lane been more yeah. pertinent.
Yeah,
than...
I'm usually of the opinion that footballers should be important and should be politically active. Just, but then you hear him spouting nonsense about ivermectin and stuff. You're like going, I don't think you qualify for this, Ricky.
Yeah. Well, he'd say that to you, though, wouldn't he? Because yes. did you see that interview with Matt Letizier? I forget which newspaper it was in, but he was very, very patronising to the interview, saying you clearly haven't done your research about...
You clearly haven't watched the YouTube video.
Yeah, just,
yeah, yeah right, clearly that, exactly.
You clearly haven't watched a man in his bedroom on YouTube.
Two men deep in rabbit holes, and it's actually quite sad.
Yes, yeah. It is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. True. Well, let's go to a break then, Jim.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I'm Martin Keown and you're listening to Football Ramble.
Yeah, maybe just once more about the Football Ramble. That'd be all right.
Hi. I'm Martin Keown and you're listening to the Football Ramble. I'm Martin Keown.
He got there in the end. Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's now time for emails.
If you've got something for us, showfootballramble.com.
laughing at myself. From Trevor. I've loved the chat recently about players committing the ultimate negative trifecta, scoring an own goal, conceding a penalty, getting red carded. Reminds me of other variations on the hat trick. In ice hockey, there is a term called a Gordie Howe hat trick, where a player scores a goal, gets an assist, and gets into a fight all at the same time. Gordie Howe was a great goal scorer and a playmaker, but also known for being very tough. My friends and I like to joke around what other players' hat tricks would be. For example, Eric Lamella. His hat trick would be getting subbed on, score a Rabona, and then get a red card. Zaha, getting kicked all over the park, win a penalty, miss the penalty. We'd love to get your thoughts on what any other player's hat tricks would be.
Harsh on Zaha.
That is harsh. A little bit, yeah. He was good last week.
Generous to Lamella, scoring a. I mean, he scored. Has he got one or two Rabonas, actually?
If you've got two, they're fair enough.
I mean, one's impressive, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah, I've got two. All right, it's pretty good.
Fair enough.
What about. This is a bit middle of the road, this, but like Harry Kane, so backing into a defender when the defender goes up for a header, assisting Son, and then scoring a penalty.
Yeah. Or having a chat with the referee.
Yeah.
Like having a chat with the referee, isn't he?
Big Andy Carroll, scoring, having an attempt at an overhead kick or a very spectacular one, going close with a header, and then a yellow card.
Or this will take a sort of rare conversion of events, but say someone like Gareth Barry, who we know like clocked up an unbelievable amount of yellow cards, getting three yellows because the ref doesn't realise he's already booked them twice.
Like it.
Mitrovic scoring 5, getting relegated, and then scoring 30.
I think it has to happen in one
in
game.
In one game. Yeah. Okay, right, fine.
So what, if you score 3 goals in a season, is that a hat-trick for
you? Yeah, a career hat-trick.
I see. Oh, there we are. It is Tuesday, which means tomorrow's Wednesday, everybody. So get your dilemmas or questions in for Pep Talks tomorrow. Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. Right, gentlemen. Let's go straight to Jake Daniels. Yesterday marked a huge moment in football. Jake Daniels became the first male professional footballer in the UK to come out as gay since Justin Fashanu in 1990. He's only 17.
Incredible.
Yeah. Only made his senior debut for Blackpool this month. And he said he'd been aware of his sexuality for many, many years. You know, he'd kept it hidden to pursue his dream of playing professional football. And he said this decision to come out has been months in the making. But he said that he hopes to be a role model for others who may well be hesitating in saying that. I mean, I just, for a 17-year-old to make themselves so vulnerable in front of everybody like that, I take my hat off to
him. His thoughts on that, as he explained it, was that, you know, he felt that living a lie was going to be stressful. He looked ahead at his whole career. He's like, I'm going to have to, if I don't come out, I'm going to have to lie for my whole career. And that itself would really take a toll on someone. So huge, huge respect for him. And what an incredible thing to take on as well, you know, to state, you know, that he actively wants to be a role model for people. Not everyone wants to do that. Not everyone wants that responsibility.
No, that's right.
And that's understandable. Been incredible at that age to do that.
Mm. I you know, you just hope that it's, rather than being an outlier, this is kind of like the beginning rather than something that happens and then doesn't happen again. I mean, like, I was interested by actually in the piece, 30 goals last season.
Yeah.
30 goals.
Yeah. 17.
I'm not surprised he got his bloody full debut. Good God. But like you say, Marcus, to make such a decision at such a young age, Jesus Christ, the stones on him. I think it's going to go in a beautiful way. And I certainly hope it does go in that beautiful way.
Yeah. I also thought to myself, he looks very mature for 17. Do you know what I mean? You know, like footballers seem to have, it's almost like footballer age. If a footballer's like 28, you know, it's like Mitrovic is what, 27, I think he is. He's got a family and all the rest of it. I think to myself, and then I remember myself at 27. I'm just like, what? Footballer's years like are just that little bit more.
You're eating jam out the jar.
And?
Sorry, yeah, you're right.
That's where it's kept.
That's where it's kept. No, you don't eat it like a bear with your big hands.
Yeah. Suck it out. Suck it directly out.
Ugh.
No, I don't do that. It's not. It's not Nutella. Let us turn our attention now to Manchester United. Erik ten Hag, of course, will be their manager very, very soon. He's won the league with Ajax. They played their last game of the season on Sunday, and he's already looking forward to his new role at Manchester United. He reportedly arrived yesterday to acquaint himself with the club before he officially starts on the 1st of July. He does arrive with the squad under a bit of a cloud. Last week, there was reportedly a scrap between two senior players at training on Thursday.
Such a leaky dressing room.
It is very leaky. Well, I was a bit disappointed because a leaky dressing room, surely, like, one of those players could be identified.
Right.
And we're going to speculate now. No, we're not going to. It was after 4 days off following the defeat to Brighton, a day for every goal.
So they've had 4 days to cool down. No, we're still going to have this fist fight.
Indeed. But Ten Hag has spoken about Cristiano Ronaldo, and he said he will be part of his rebuild and called him a giant. Staying with Ronaldo, Rio Ferdinand said it was laughable that Ronaldo wasn't in the Premier League Player of the Season shortlist. On the shortlist is Trent Alexander-Arnold, Jared Bowen, Joao Cancelo, Kevin De Bruyne, Mo Salah, Son Heung-min, James Ward-Prowse and Bukayo Saka. Do you think Ronaldo should be in there?
I don't think it's outrageous as a shout.
No, I don't think it is. He scored 18 league goals for that Manchester United side.
Is it 24 in all competitions?
In all competitions?
It's pretty astonishing.
And I think also, though, what he's done is this. There was often a bit of chat that he's getting in the way of this Man United side. Now, I understand when Rangnick took over, and some of us thought, okay, let's see how they play. Oh, but they can't press if he's in the side, even though Ronaldo hasn't pressed for years. And we all, the people were saying, hey, Ronaldo's getting in the way. And it's kind of like, oh, no, I think you're fine. He's papering over an enormous amount of cracks.
His goals are, but I think his movement are creating more cracks.
But he's scoring goals, though.
Like, fine.
It's a funny one. I don't remember any situation like this in the past.
I mean, that
it's
goal comparable. He scored against Chelsea when they were battered that day. He got hardly any service, and yet he pulls out that out the bag. You know, I mean, I see. I don't think Ferdinand himself said that Ronaldo wouldn't win it, but perhaps he should be in there. But there we are. He's got enough personal accolades to kind of comfort him through this one.
Yeah, and
I think.
It's funny, this will still hurt him though.
Yeah, oh, really, really bothering.
Big time, yeah. Who would you fancy for Prem Player of the Season? I mean, Mo Salah looked, certainly for the first
Jordan?
Six. He's not on the shortlist, I'm
not
afraid.
On the shortlist.
Until he gets on the shortlist, perhaps next season.
I would think it will be De Bruyne, personally, looking at that list.
It's always how they finish. It's never how like they were performing, you know, three, four months ago. That's
I'd love Jarrod Bowen to win it. that would be brilliant. It's a bit generous, maybe having Saka in there. He's had a good season, but
no, he's been Arsenal's best player. I mean, I've watched him very closely. He's been fantastic.
Arsenal's best player.
He has, yeah. But you know, I think he's worthy of his place.
All right, fair enough. At Manchester United, though, if they're wondering how Ten Hag's going to be, obviously, as I say, he's there to, you know, become familiar with the club. What you need, as we all know, is you need someone who knows the club. And he's done that because Steve McLaren is apparently returning to the club in the coming days. Something we can all get behind, can't we?
Yeah.
Jim Campbell.
It's a funny one. Again, it feels like Man United looking back, but that might be a reductive way of viewing this appointment because he is very experienced. He's been there at the club before.
Worked with Ten Hag as well.
Exactly. Worked with Ten Hag.
It's a nice kind of bridge as well. You know, you can't look at those little doe eyes, not fall in love a little bit.
Yeah. Indeed, the big news, though, is with all this chat about Ten Hag is that his soon-to-be former club Ajax will become the first Eredivisie club with four bald head coaches in a row. Peter Bosch, Marcel Kaiser, Erik ten Hag himself, and now Alfred Schreuder. So good to see the notable eggs are still getting a run out.
Absolutely.
You sort of look at them as younger men and you sort of go, I mean, none of them had amazing hair. So just great decisions all around. It's nice to see that legacy of great decision making at important times.
Egacy.
And that's why we all turned up today, everybody.
Yes, exactly,
tonight, Southampton face Liverpool. Now, Liverpool have to win this to take it to the final day, which is something I sort of forgot about when I was on CNN yesterday. Going, it's great, we've got a final day. And then I was thinking,
very annoying if Southampton derail this now.
It would be. Even for Jack Grealish, who was saying, I'm buzzing, it's going to be your final day and all this kind of stuff.
So Jack Grealish couldn't figure out where he came from.
That was
a great video. The England one.
Connor Cody asked him to point out where Birmingham is on a map and he goes, is that a map of England? And then essentially runs away.
Because he's like, I've got no chance.
It reminds me of that, you know, I just love how he just opts out. And I think that you know, kind of whimsical social media stuff, footballers should not go, are you kidding? I'll fuck this up. I'll embarrass myself. Yeah. But actually, by doing it, he's embarrassing. I like the bloke. I don't even know what it is. Some kind of fucking right-wing rally or something. Some guy rocks up with a microphone. He shoves a mic in a guy's face and goes, how many genders are there? And this guy just goes, I don't know. I just got here. I think if it in life,
told what I think, yeah.
In life, there should be more people who sort of go, I have no grounding in this.
Yes.
I have no interest in this.
I'll let
the chips fall out where they may. Yep. I've just got here. And I think that should be the answer to everything.
You know what? Like years ago, that would be like, that's a ridiculous answer. Yeah. Now, with all this supposed information,
you're
a trailblazer, Seth.
Yeah.
We need to get behind this guy. We all need to not know.
I don't know. I just got here.
Yes, exactly.
It's a lovely
exactly. And Jack Grealish could inadvertently spearhead this movement.
Yes,
not
exactly.
Stuff.
Yeah.
And God bless him for that. But of course, Liverpool do need to beat Southampton. Realistically beat Southampton. I mean, of course, a draw would mean it goes to the final day, but really they would need to beat them. But Southampton, they're not in great shakes, They are obviously safe. They probably have been for a while, I would imagine. Jurgen Klopp will be focusing very much on tonight's game because there's the importance of it. He's also called for more winners' medals from the FA following their win at the weekend in the FA Cup final, saying that 40 winners' medals was not enough to go around the Liverpool players and staff.
When he says staff, like, is the kit man getting a winner's medal?
I think kit man's probably more on the frame than I don't know who was the third keeper.
Yeah, he's like, my family are here. Where are their medals?
Yeah,
you know, I couldn't do this without them.
Just make your own.
I reckon make your own.
You've got pot lids.
Yeah, he said they're still waiting for more to arrive from the Carabao Cup final, which they ordered.
Nice problem to have, isn't it?
Very nice.
Just very much kind of like
it's superb.
I was up late last night watching QVC and I ordered some stuff and I'm still waiting for it, for crying out loud.
Oh, you've not slipped back into this, have you?
No, I'm not admitting it. I'm just saying the clock might have been.
Oh, I see. I thought that was an admission from yourself. the internet's turned off in your house at a certain time, so you can't go on eBay in a tired, dreary state. Well, Klopp said if I was in charge of these competitions, I would give everybody 60 medals. Not each, obviously. That would be a bit much. but, I mean, it makes a point. Do you remember when England finished third in the UEFA Nations League and Gareth Southgate said they were just handed the medals in like a plastic bag? What a presentation. I mean, it's like, okay, a third place playoff always seems a bit pointless, and in the UEFA Nations League it seems particularly pointless, but you guys organised this. Yeah. don't you buy into that narrative. Yeah. You've got us all here for it, for crying out loud. Deary me. Oh my goodness, yeah. So there we are, everybody. Did you see that Peter Shilton was upset that the Liverpool fans were booing the national anthem? He said, so disrespectful, booing Prince William in yesterday's FA Cup final. Sadly, it's a sign of the times in this country.
Whoever could have seen that coming from Thomas Ed Shilton?
I'm sure if he went back and sort of found a tweet about him being fine with him booing other stuff at Wembley. Just like, you know.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Anyway, well, speaking of, truths and mistruths and conspiracies.
Lot of this today.
Well, I'm afraid, Jim, that, you know, we need to speak the truth about the untruths and the conspiracies before I tangle myself up even further. I'm going to go straight to it. Wayne Rooney has said this week that he finds it strange that Manchester City's 2012 Premier League title hasn't been questioned. He said City got the second goal and QPR kicked it straight back to them from kickoff. And that's never been questioned. I find that strange. Anyway, I'll leave that there.
Yeah.
More on Wayne's Wicked Whispers next week.
Wayne, you realise you could he still be fined? I think he could still be fined.
I wondered that.
Well, he wants to. I mean, if he's still operating in football.
By the way,
I watched the last sort of 5-6 minutes of this game back.
Right.
Yeah.
And what QPR do is they get kickoff after Dzeko scores.
And they just melt all the steel beams.
Come on.
With their football.
They don't kick it back to them, per se. They just launch it into the corner out for a throw. Basically, kick it as far away from their own goal as possible.
Yeah.
Now, yes, nowadays you'd think, well, what on earth have you done that? You've given them possession straight away. If you're going to waste time, because QPR needed a result. They didn't in the end, of course. The results went their way and they stayed up. But what you might do is play it back to the goalkeeper, or at least pass it around a little bit to waste a few more seconds, and then maybe the keeper launches it up the field. But clearly, with that second goal going in, they were a bit like, oh, crap, right, away from the goal and we'll get ourselves set and all the rest of it. And actually, if you listen to the commentary or the clip that I particularly watched, Niall Quinn's on COCOMs, and as Man City come forward with the ball, he does say, oh, the QPR fans are now jumping. They've obviously heard something. And about 30 seconds later, obviously Aguero scores. Yeah. But you see a number of QPR defenders like fall on the ground in a heap, like really angry because they think that that's a decisive moment, you know, and they're really throwing themselves in the way.
It's a risky move, isn't it? Like to be able to disseminate that information and then make a decision to just throw a game. Like, Wayne, think about how that works.
Exactly, which is why I'm basically saying this in case Wayne's listening and anybody believes or thinks it is strange. Just look at it again.
There's just like, have another look, Wayne.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not like, you know, one of the QPR players like played Aguero in. Do you know what I mean? He had a bit to do.
Yeah.
So there we are. I think we've debunked that, have we?
I think so.
Yeah, where's Wayne's statue?
I don't know. But it won't be outside Manchester City's like that odd one of Aguero is.
Mm.
What do you think of that statue?
I think people are expecting a different style of statue. I think they're just expecting like an old Winston Churchill job.
No, you know what I mean? No, I don't think that. I think that the statue, I think I actually quite like. I quite like that statue. No, I think they're thinking that he just doesn't look like him. It's difficult with a statue, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
We've seen some less, worthy attempts. I mean, yeah. The Ronaldo bust one was one of the great all-time sort of moments.
The Aguero one's industry. Going for a slightly different look, isn't it? It's quite... quite
it's not a bad fist.
It's almost abstract, isn't it? Especially with the kind of the colouring of it. So I think it's pretty good.
I like the colour and all that. I mean, what do you think of the statues outside the Emirates?
In terms of the likeness, I like
the Henri one's good with the knee slide. Yeah, and the Bergkamp one.
What's
Tony Adams doing in his one?
I can't remember, actually.
You don't even give it the time of day.
I generally don't come to the stadium around that end.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
so
I don't
know. So all the Jim Campbell fans that are often there with placards, they're wasting their time. Where should they stand, Jim? Where should they stand?
If you're near Dennis Bergkamp, and you might bump into me.
Yeah. you'll know Jim because he's got on his, he always has that t-shirt that says free hugs on it. anyway, everybody. Little Upfront plug for you here. A reminder that a very special At the Match with Upfront is out today from Wembley, no less. Flo and Rachel took a trip to the Women's FA Cup final, which is a cracking game. Look back on some of their favourite finals memories. Flo being a big QPR fan. I wonder what she's got to
find
say.
The truth.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Rachel explains how she came to own an FA Cup winner's medal. Respect to the Mags, which you won't want to miss. And and we know that they're hard to get because you've got to get to the final, win it. And then sometimes they don't have many to get all round. So maybe Rachel will shed a bit more light on that. So get over to Football Ramble Presents for that good stuff there. We've come to the end of the show, everybody. Or have we? No, we have. thank you very much for listening to today's Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. We're back tomorrow, of course.
Do you remember the Michael Essien statue?
No!
Yes!
It was horrible. Looked like the robot from Moonwalker.
Fiberglass thing.
Yeah, it was horrible. Yeah. I like it, though.
Michael Jackson statue outside Craven Cottage.
Yeah, true.
You know,
wherever that may be now.
It was in the National Football Museum, obviously. Yes.
Not anymore.
I wouldn't have thought so.
No. In the bin.
Yes, exactly, yeah. So there we are. Let's end on that note, Jim Campbell. Thank you very much.
Good night.
Thank you very much, Pete Dodson.
Goodbye, everyone.
Thank you, everybody. Keep searching for the truth.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. Why When Question Time is a Stack production.